Good evening, New Life Church. Thank you again for welcoming me into your home and allowing me to share God's Word with you on this Good Friday. I wish we were together on the square. We had intended to have a service outdoors in the square, prophetically sing over our city, but we are together in spirit, and I'm grateful that you're joining us this evening. Today is Good Friday. It is the day some 2,000 years ago that Jesus died on the cross. And so it's an ironic name, Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday because of the results that came from that day. We have salvation and hope for eternity because of the cross that Jesus died on. But make no mistake, it was a bad day. It was a day of rebellion, a day of murder, a day of curses, a day of violence, a day of loneliness. There was darkness. There was lightning and thunder. There was an earthquake. And it was a day of pain. The word excruciating actually comes from the Latin ex crucis, out of the cross. The word crucible, which is a severe or difficult trial, comes from the Latin word for cross, crucis. And so it was a painful day, that Good Friday. And I was thinking this week, we're kind of going through our own bad day as a nation right now. We're sheltering in place. We're practicing social distancing. Some of us are losing jobs. Some of us are losing income. And it's an excruciating time for our nation. It's a crucible for our nation. And so I wanted to share with you tonight, as Jesus hung on the cross on that Good Friday, he made seven declarations, seven last statements, the seven statements from the cross. And they're famous because they're the last words he spoke, his famous last words. And they're important. And I think we should give him careful consideration tonight, because in those statements, Jesus shows us how to live through a bad day. So the first statement Jesus made from the cross was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And Jesus spoke that word to the people that had actually driven nails through his hands and feet, who had actually put a crown of thorns on his head, the people that were at the foot of the cross at that very moment that he spoke that, gambling for his few remaining earthly possessions. And he asked God to forgive them. And he's teaching us how to avoid becoming a victim. In life, people hurt us, people fail us, they can ruin our lives if we let them. But we don't have to let them. If we overcome victimhood through forgiveness, we can find freedom. And Jesus teaches us how to forgive even our worst enemies. So forgive everyone that's trying to ruin your day. The second statement Jesus makes from the cross, he says, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." And if you remember the story, of course, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One of them mocked him, but the other one stood up for Jesus. And Jesus spoke those words to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." It's a beautiful picture of God's divine mercy. Because think about it, Jesus is dealing with his own pain, his own misery, his own trauma, and yet he turns to minister to someone else. That someone was going through the same thing Jesus was going through, and he offers mercy to him because he's going through the same fate. And so Jesus is showing us how we should take our eyes off of our own problems to find someone else that needs help. It doesn't matter what you're going through, there's always going to be someone that has it worse than you. And so help others experiencing the same struggles you are. Third statement from the cross, Jesus says, "Dear woman, here's your son." And then he says to John, "Here is your mother." And he spoke those words to Mary, his mother, and John, his closest disciple. Mary, by this time, was aging, probably widowed, and crosses back in the ancient Near East weren't nearly as high as we picture them to be. So Jesus was very close to the ground when he spoke these words to Mary and to John. Most of the other disciples had melted away into the crowds and were hiding. But he asked his friend John to take care of his mother. And it's easy sometimes when we're going through trials to lash out at those that are closest to us, to transmit our trauma to others, to pass off our stress to our kids, to our spouse. And Jesus shows us that we should be sensitive to those that are around us because they're experiencing the same suffering we are. We're going through it together. There's no wrong time to show affection. So take care of those around you. The fourth statement of the cross, Jesus says in Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus, in that statement, is quoting the very first line in Psalm 22. Now, in the ancient Jewish world, since kids learned the Psalms from childhood, to say the first line of a psalm was to bring to remembrance the whole psalm. And so that psalm, it's actually an amazing prophetic psalm if you'll read it. But King David was surrounded by enemies, and he wrote, "Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths against me. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." But the psalm doesn't end in despair, and Jesus knew that. This is why Jesus brings this psalm to mind. Here's how the psalm ends. "But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me." So no matter what you face, Jesus is showing us that we can always turn to God for prayer, for salvation, and for deliverance. We can ask him our hard questions in the midst of our bad day. Number five, Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." As I mentioned before, death on the cross was excruciating, and Jesus called out for help. And you know, from time to time, we all find ourselves in a place where we need help. But having pastored now for 25 years or more, I've learned that many people are too prideful to ask for help when they need it, because we don't like to admit we need help. We don't like to admit we've lost control, and so we don't want to show any weakness. But whether or not we want to admit it or not, we all come to a point where we need help, and Jesus even came to that point, and he shows us that it's okay to ask. Be humble enough to acknowledge your need. Sixth statement from the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." In Greek, it's just one word, tetelestai, and it was often a word that was written across the top of a bill when the bill was paid in full, when everything was finished and done with. And so Jesus, while he was suffering beyond comprehension, still had the faith that God was going to turn this thing around, that his suffering would not be in vain, and that somehow, in some way, God would bring good out of this terrible event. You know, when the author of Hebrews describes Jesus going to the cross, it says he says, "For the joy set before him." The cross was definitely not a joyful experience. The joy set before him was what lay on the other side of the cross, yours and my salvation. Romans 8:28 reminds us, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." See, that's redemption. That is taking the broken and fixing it. That is taking the worthless and restoring value. That is taking the slave and setting him free. Taking the horrible, like the cross, and turning it into something beautiful. Jesus reminds us that even in our worst situations, God can bring value if we will seek him in the midst of it. So be assured, there is a purpose and there is an end. And then the last statement Jesus made from the cross, his final words before his death, he shouted up to heaven, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." See, it's hard to live through a bad day. It's sometimes even harder to bring closure to a bad day, to conclude a bad day. So you go to bed when sleep should refresh you and replenish you, but you lay in bed and thoughts are going around in your head and you're replaying scenarios and you're worried and you're stressed. And so you wake up the next morning and you have another bad day, which leads to another bad day, which can lead to a bad year, can lead to a bad life, can lead to a bad marriage, a bad childhood. Jesus had been betrayed. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He suffered immensely. He felt abandoned about an hour before, but even in the midst of that, he shows us that God is worthy of our trust, not only just when things are going well, but especially when they're going wrong. Jesus reminds us that we should surrender our day to God and let go. And so Jesus' bad day on Friday led to a great day on Sunday. On Easter morning, God raised Jesus from the grave, forever opening that door for you and me to salvation. And it reminds us that with God, there is always hope. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. That there always is an end to suffering and pain. And that there's hope and victory. And whether we're talking about a pandemic of sin in the world, or a pandemic of COVID-19 in the world, Jesus shows us that no situation, however negative, however painful, is beyond God's redemptive power. And so we've got to learn to work with God's redemptive hand when we're going through a bad day, and we're going through a bad day now as a nation. So I'm going to encourage you to choose forgiveness over victimhood. You can choose thankfulness. You can choose joy in your life. Look out for others to whom you can minister. The world needs the church to be the church right now. Now more than ever, we've got to be the church. We've got to look for others that are going through the same bad day we are, but we reach out and minister. Take care of those closest to you. Take care of your children. Take care of your spouse. Help them through. They're suffering with you. Don't put your trauma on them. Don't put your stress on them. Encourage them as you go through your bad day. Turn to God in prayer. Let's, as the church, lead the way in humble repentance before Almighty God. Be humble enough to ask for help if you need it. Church, I'm serious. If you need anything, we're here for you. We're not closed. I will get to your house. You need toilet paper, I'll bring it to you. Whatever you need, let us know. You need to talk. You need someone to pray with. If you're struggling, ask for help. We'll be there. Believe in faith that God has a purpose and an end. Church, God's got this. He's going to take care of us. And then finally, surrender your day to God and let go. Jesus said it this way, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is it easy to live through a bad day? Of course not. Absolutely not. It's a crucible, sometimes excruciating. But the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to overcome his bad day is available to you and me as we go through our situations. Good Friday brought the Resurrection Sunday. And the devil may have been behind the crucifixion, but God is the God of resurrection. God is the God of a new day, and he wants you to experience that victory in your life. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for being the God of the resurrection. And we believe you have resurrection power still available to you, and we ask that you would bring that power to bear in our nation, that you would help us through this bad day, that we would turn to you and repent, and that you would heal our land. And we're grateful to be able to celebrate Easter in 2 days, but we realize what it cost you. today on Good Friday, as we think about your suffering, we recognize that you did it for us because you love us. We love you too, Lord. Help us in the midst of our trials and pains, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Good night.